Hi, my name is Aline. I study politics and international relations at Auckland Uni. I immigrated to New Zealand 5 years ago from Mexico. I'm half French and half Mexican. And yeah, I've really kind of loved my experience at Auckland Uni. At the beginning, I was a little bit isolated, and I didn't know, I couldn't find my feet very much until I joined a few groups at uni, one of them Feminists of Colour. And today I feel like it's a big part of my identity and how I can relate to others being in this group.
Well, this is what we're here to talk about, so that's a nice little segue. Tell us more about Feminists of Colour.
Feminists of Colour is a group, it's a club at uni that started from kind of people being tired of white liberal feminism. It has kind of had its ebbs and flows. It really kind of, we've done a lot of things, but it really focuses around kind of getting women of colour and feminists of colour in general together and to be able to talk about issues of intersectionality and that sort of thing. We've done a few events to do with issues pertaining to feminists of colour. A while back, it was decided that the reason why I stress so much that it's feminists of colour and not only women of colour is because a while back, kind of at the AGM, we kind of decided that we would open it to also men of colour, so that they could also kind of come to our events and mingle with us and kind of, yeah. And it focuses very much on the intersectional aspect of feminism. We've done quite a few events around that sort of thing.
And speaking of events, so you mentioned that you haven't had many events last year, but this year you're hoping to build yourselves back up.
Last year we were a little dormant. A few of the members were quite run down. We all had like a lot of things on. We did do a few events to do with the election. And those went really well. One of them sold out and was awesome. It was pretty dormant. And this year we're trying to pick that back up. We're going to have our AGM in 2 weeks, and we're going to try to, get some really good things back on track. We've got a few cool events lined up, and one of them is next week. It's going to be our first event. That is not just for feminists of color. We had a little potluck a while back, but this one's open to everyone. And it's going to be really cool. It's going to be a panel talking about intersectionality and the power of powerlessness and how we have felt kind of powerless in different situations as feminists of color and how can we overcome that sort of thing. It's going to be really interesting.
We'll come back to the event. I just wanted to pick up on what you just said in terms of your members feeling run down, which is quite a good metaphor in terms of where what you're trying to point to in this panel, right? In terms of being frustrated. And it can be also, like you say, this space in particular, university, right? An isolating place for people of color. And so the work that you do in terms of this group, you're trying to bring attention to these issues, or you're trying to create a space for people.
It kind of is a little bit of both. So the space, well, the club is kind of mostly for feminists of color to connect and kind of have a space for themselves and to kind of I don't know, we've organized movie nights and that sort of thing, and it's quite it's definitely kind of for us, but also we organize events that are for kind of to raise awareness or visibility on issues that pertain to feminists of color. I mean, the reason, for example, I joined the club was because I was feeling quite, I don't know, I was having a hard time grappling with my identity as an immigrant and with kind of the othering aspect of being kind of not Pākehā or, not Māori and not fitting in any of the cases. And so there's also a very small mixing community in New Zealand. So it was hard for me to find my feet. But when I found Feminists of Colour, and, in the beginning I was a little shy, I looked into the Facebook group and I saw like people posting in it and like, telling their experiences. Some of them were pretty harsh. Some of them were, it was just like, oh, I'm going to this movie and and that. And so I found that it was really nice and really inspiring. And I feel like kind of talking to other people that are a part of Feminists of Color, it has been similar experiences that they felt kind of ostracized or not really kind of finding, I don't know, some group or some identity-forming group that they can look up to. And that, at least, is a really good place to start.
So with this panel, do you want to tell us a little bit about who's on it and a bit more about what it's about?
The panel will be, again, so we'll be touching on issues of intersectionality, which I'm really quite aware of how, like, not everybody knows what intersectionality is, so I'm just going to do a quick explanation. So it's about, like, you know, the intersection between race and gender, and how building your identity on this intersection may differ from other people that build their identity in different intersections. So, like, if you're a white male, you will have an experience of life that is different from the experiences of a brown woman, simply because of how society is structured and how some demographics that get benefited more from certain things than others. Anyway, so we'll talk about kind of this topic and how women of color, or even feminists of color, have kind of felt frustration, or, you know, a feeling of powerlessness in the face of kind of inequality, or, you know, I think it's not fair that they get paid less, or, you know, that we don't get our voices heard as much, or that sort of thing. So the event was created because I've been talking to so many people about this issue, and it has been an issue for so many people. And so, yeah, and I was talking to a friend about this ages ago, and she was like, well, yeah, but you just need to kind of turn that frustration into something that is inspiring. And so I looked to people that were inspiring, that were role models, that were women of color in positions of great success. And so this is how the event was created. So we're a little team, and we're putting together five guest speakers for this event. Georgina Roberts from MFAD. We've got Tomas Ailao, Swali Soni. She's a lecturer at the University of Auckland. She's amazing. We've got Golritz Karaman, for a Green MP, first refugee MP in New Zealand. We've got Alice Canton. She's most famous for her work she's a performer and a performance artist, and she does a lot of directing. She's most known for her show Other Chinese, who talked about building your identity as a Chinese person, all the different things that meant. And we've got Diana Yang, who is the owner of Mustache, the cookie and milk bar. So yeah, we've got, like, all these amazing women from a really, like, wide array of professions, and they're all pretty successful, and the stories that they have behind them are incredibly inspiring. So this is what we're trying to get at.
I wanted to ask why you chose the word powerlessness as for the title.
Right, yes. Yeah, so I had a bit of a think about that, because so I put out different topics titles that I thought would be good for the panel, and that one was actually my least favorite, but everybody voted for it, and so I had a hard time kind of like liking it, because, you know, feeling powerless, it's sometimes not very inspiring. But like the power of powerlessness, well, in reality, it's not that women of color or feminists of color are disempowered per se, you know, and not all feminists of color are disempowered per se. And so I kind of had a really hard time with that title for a long while, and especially kind of coming and asking these amazingly powerful women, like, hey, do you want to talk about powerlessness? Was for me a little bit weird. But, and this is a really interesting experience that I had in the forum to complete the attendance, the RSVP, that is essential. A lady wrote in there, I'm in daily contact with more than 500 young women that are Maori, Pacifica, and they are in incredibly difficult situations. They, you know, they are constantly undermined by the system. A lot of them are, you know, they know people that are in prison, that are, you know, they have committed suicide. And really, like, you know, she told me a little bit about where she came from and how she, you know, what she saw. And she was saying that the young women that she saw felt really disempowered by all these things around them, and that they didn't find the power in themselves to be better or to overcome these things, and but that she saw that even if they felt disempowered, they had the power, and that she wanted to bring some of them to this panel to be inspired and to, you know, realize that they could be empowered. And so that experience gave me so much clarity on, of course, you know, of course, admitting disempowerment or kind of admitting vulnerability in the face of some things can also be really powerful, in the sense that it brings people that otherwise would feel intimidated into a conversation that sometimes is quite monopolized by people that already have the microphone.
So powerlessness is more a reference to external pressures or external obstacles.
Yeah.
Rather than the woman themselves. Also wanted to ask, in terms of your lineup, they are leaders in their fields, and you say that this is success. I was just wondering what the definition of success in that aspect is, because there are a number of women who may not be in those positions but are also powerful and also successful in what they do and what they contribute to their communities.
Mm.
So where in that sense is their representation in that panel?
And that's a really interesting issue that we were talking about as well. And originally, it was going to be a panel presenting people that were involved in politics and kind of more social organizations. And then we realized that power has many shapes and forms, and success has many shapes and forms. So we tried to get a wider kind of view of who could be successful and what does success look like. So we tried to kind of open up to different kind of fields and that sort of thing. And you're quite right. It is power, and this is something that I'm going to be talking about as well at the panel. Power doesn't necessarily mean a big paycheck or a big, you know, a big wig. It's to do with doing what you want to do and being able to be the best version of yourself without being obstructed to do it, or, you know, without kind of being subjugated by somebody else. And this is true for all the people in the panel. They have, you know, they are the best version of themselves, or they seem to be the best version of themselves. And a lot of them have gone through duress to be able to achieve this. And at least, a few of them, I feel like they have a lot to bring to that conversation specifically on how, you know, power looks like a lot of different things, because they come with a lot of experience and they have seen so many different things that are not necessarily, you know, the mainstream run-of-the-mill idea of power that we all have. So I feel that that will be also a core tenet of, you know, you can be empowered too, because this is a conversation for the audience, and it's to say, look, this is how we have interpreted power, but you can be empowered in any way that you want to be. It's just that you need to, you know, and we'll talk about, you know, the feelings of powerlessness, the feelings of frustration, that sort of thing, that are quite common, but leaving it open so that people can interpret it and build upon that in the way that they want.
But ultimately, you are sort of pointing to the structures, right? There are structures in play that are causing those feelings of powerlessness.
Mm-hmm.
What about conversations in terms of deconstructing those structures? How do we then have conversations about women that aren't necessarily pursuing those careers or in those spaces,
mm-hmm.
but are still ultimately successful, but there are structures?
Yeah. So one of the things that we'll touch on as well is being allies, which is going to be really interesting, because I am aware that it's not going to be an audience full of, you know, feminists of color. That's going to be a part of the conversation as well. I think that to do with changing the structures, we also will talk about that sort of thing. Another thing that I think is really interesting and important is how kind of acknowledging that our minds are colonized into believing certain things and into kind of limiting ourselves to also kind of, you know, going along with some things and not questioning the systems and the structures that are around us. So kind of raising awareness of that sort of thing and having role models that have been able to do it, even if it's not necessarily kind of the path that you want to follow or the your idea of success or your idea of what looks like empowerment. Having role models that have managed to achieve that sort of thing and have managed to deconstruct their own a mental and an internal colonization process, it's quite inspiring to be like, oh, well, actually, I can do this too, but in a different way.
And so those other narratives of success are mm-hmm. also available in those conversations.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
Do you think there's room for another panel in the future for perhaps other women that may not have their names known, but also have different, you know, more complex or other versions of success stories?
Well, depending on how successful this one is, I definitely already have a second one in the pipeline. And this one will be more focused towards the arts, because that is also, you know, we have an idea that the arts are not sometimes, you know, like the ultimate measure of success, because, you know, like the poor, broke artist or whatever, you know. And so, yeah, I want to do it more about the arts. I know that there is so many artists that have a lot to say about these issues, but are not necessarily kind of listened to in that way, because their names are not as known, or, you know, that sort of thing. And so I feel like it would be so incredibly mutually beneficial for everybody to be sitting at that table and having that conversation, because you're quite right. And I think it's also to do with when you have, and this is something that we're quite aware of, that the panel that we've kind of managed to put together, I'm incredibly grateful for the amazing women that are at the panel, because they have taken time out of their incredibly busy schedules to come and talk to us, but also they're incredibly successful, and, you know, they're quite shining stars in the sky, you know. So that can also be intimidating for people that see themselves too far away from that sort of thing. And so, yeah, I mean, we're trying to make it as accessible and as friendly as possible, but I'm completely aware of that sort of gap or narrative or of like, you know, being it so far away from our realities that it becomes inaccessible. So yeah, if depending on how successful this one is, I definitely have a second one in place.
Because my questions around that, it just raises because of the idea that obviously liberal white feminism, often their goals are getting women into positions of, you know, CEOs or whatever that might be. So trying to deconstruct that narrative as not being the sole avenue to success, that's all I was trying to get to. But is there anything else you wanted to say or add? Or
to all the people that are listening, if you're a feminist of color, definitely come and join us and come take part of the conversation, because we need more people like you. You're worthwhile, and your voice needs to be heard a lot more.